Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Christians begin a new liturgical year with the season of Advent, a time of preparation to celebrate the mystery of the Incarnation.
Some people propose that to protect religious freedom, we must ban speech that is critical or offensive about religion. We do not agree.
You gave the opening prayer for the newly elected lesbian mayor of Houston. Did you get any flack for that?
Sure we do. But again, it shows that the heart of who we are is to uplift people and to love everybody.
All you need is love.
Washington jet drivers love Issues Etc.
It is not a popular concept, especially among Christians. One wouldn't expect it to be. The place of suffering in the Christian life. A lot of people are attracted to Christianity because nowadays, at least in Pop American Christianity, it's kind of sold under false pretenses as a way to alleviate suffering, inner suffering, outer suffering, suffering from financial woes, especially the kind of suffering you might encounter if you're dealing with God or with the devil. But the fact of the matter is, for great reformers like Martin Luther, suffering had a central role to play in the life of the Christian. And in fact, he even had a term that he liked to use for a particularly acute kind of affliction or suffering, one that presents paradox, but one is that is at the heart of not only the Christian life, but of the making of a good theologian. The term was anfechtung. Well, we'll just call it affliction, and we're going to be talking about affliction in the thought of 16th century reformer Martin Luther live this Tuesday afternoon, November the 30th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. David Scare will be our guest here for the first few minutes. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Because in about a half hour, we'll have some audio open lines. There's a football player who blamed God for a dropped pass during one of the big games over this last week. Steve Johnson said, basically, God was to blame. He sent it out as a tweet saying things like, "You expect me to learn from this? How? I'll never forget this. Thanks, though." And, of course, that's gotten into the news. We'll get your reaction to "God made me drop it" in about a half hour here on Issues Etc. You can leave your questions and your thoughts at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. A little bit later in the hour, Dr. Peter Scare will join us. We'll be talking about Andrew the Apostle. Then Pastor Thomas Messer will be our guest. He'll join us to discuss the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament, called today Yom Kippur. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. David Scare is a regular guest, professor and chairman of the Department of Systematic Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of an article for the Concordia Theological Quarterly Journal titled "The Concept of Anfechtung in Luther's Thought." Dr. Scare, welcome back.
Todd, it's good being with you again. Thanks a lot.
Kind of generally speaking, what place does Luther assign suffering in his theology and in the life of the Christian?
Well, there is a contradiction in Christianity, and that contradiction exists between what God promises and what we really experience. And so the young Christian, the recent convert to Christianity, and possibly be very enthusiastic about his faith, and that he can expect everything to be going his way. But he faces the most unusual problems in his life, Now, sometimes the suffering, as you said in your introduction, sometimes the suffering has to do with physical things. Sometimes it has to do with mental or psychological things. It can come in many forms. It can come in the form of poverty. It can come, tragically, in the form of physical ailments, debilitating diseases. It can even come, as we get older, in the form of old age and the concomitant experiences we have. And the God who promises us life in our own experiences gives us death. And Luther, more than any other of the classical theologians, understood that in what appears to be these tragic situations in our lives, that God is working. God draws straight lines in a crooked way. And of course, this stands at odds with what we hear about in the Bible, and what Jesus promises. He promises us life, and he gives us difficulties. St. Paul called these problems what Luther called the infectum, and St. Paul called the thorn in the flesh. And we're not really sure of what Paul meant by that. Sometimes these problems, the infectum, more likely are spiritual problems, in that the believer faces unbelief. The believer faces no certainty in himself about his own salvation. And this was Luther's own life. If you want to look at this historically, for the first few years of the Reformation, Luther enjoyed great success. That success only lasted a few years, maybe from 1527 to 1525, a space of 8 years at most. And then the Reformation was attacked on all sides. It was attacked by the Roman Catholics. It was attacked by Zwingli, and especially, particularly the Anabaptists, who revolted against the princes and the towns and caused great havoc throughout Germany.
So let's talk about this term that you say in some ways defies a complete translation, anfechtung. I've heard soul struggle. I think even famous philosophers have taken it up and talked about it as existential angst. But for Luther, it's rather present and tangible. You say it involves an incredible paradox that you mentioned before between the sure and certain promises of God and the everyday experience of the Christian, even as he clings to those promises, even with Luther, to the point of saying at times he couldn't tell whether or not it was God or Satan who was dealing with him in these times of affliction. Talk about that, if you would.
Okay, Luther brings up the example of a young man who was afflicted with sexual desires. And he understands exactly the situation he's in, and he calls on God for help. So what happens is that God increases the terror of these temptations instead of taking them away. And that's the great mystery, that it's through the imperfections of our life that God increases faith. And now you bring up the question of whether Satan was dealing, Luther's situation, of whether Satan was dealing with him or God. He really felt that Satan had taken a hold of him and that God had forsaken him. Now, I think this is unusual to Luther's theology, that this can be understood in the right sense, that Satan has a positive role to play in the life of the Christian, and that it is Satan is not given free rein in the world. He is an attack dog, that's for certain. He wants to destroy faith among Christians, and he will do it in any way he possibly can. But the other side of that story is that Satan is on a leash, and God is holding that leash. And you might even say it's a kind of a means of grace, because Satan uses, God uses Satan to accomplish his own purposes. Satan is never let loose on his own in the life of the Christian. God uses Satan to keep us in line, because the more we are afflicted, the only resource that we have, the only place that we can go is to Christ. So as strange as it seems, God uses Satan in order to create, to increase faith in the life of the believer. And I think many of our pastors have seen this, that in the lives of the members of their congregations, they have faced divorce, they have faced death, they have faced a rebellious children, they have faced the loss of their job, they are given debilitating sicknesses, they are facing terminal diseases, and in all of this, these people see the true face of God in these afflictions, who is pointing them through the afflictions to Christ, and so their faith is increased in all of these things. It might be a kind of a trivial thing to say that afflictions are a way in which God toughens up the faith. And, well, the opposite end of this is for God to leave us to our pleasures.
All right, let's take a break right there. When we come back, we'll talk about what God is doing when he allows afflictions in the life of the Christian. There's in addition to Luther's observation that he could sometimes not tell the difference between God and Satan here, and it sounds as though it really doesn't make much difference. God is at liberty to use Satan to send these afflictions toward his good end. This is all about making of faith in those promises, and as Luther will say at times, making a good theologian. It requires this kind of affliction. Be right back.
Although hard times, who knows better than I?
We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Christmas and one for Epiphany. And we'll send you this new CD for any size year-end donation. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size gift before the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Christmas and Epiphany sermons.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300: Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma; Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana; Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota; Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota; St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin; Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California; St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa; St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado; Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri; and Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about affliction in the thought of 16th century reformer Martin Luther. Dr. David Scare is our guest for another 10 minutes. He's professor and chairman of the Department of Systematic Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of an article in the Concordia Theological Quarterly Journal titled The Concept of Anfechtung in Luther's Thought. You can read this article at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Before the break, you were talking about how God does this rather than leaving us to our own devices and desires. You were describing, in the case of faithful pastors who find their lives filled with trouble, often we just kind of say, well, that's life. That's the school of hard knocks. It sounds as though Luther would have us see this in very realistic terms, that this is Satan, even under God's direction, afflicting us, and yet all to God's purpose.
Well, the problem of afflictions is not simply a unique Christian problem. This comes under the general category of theodicy. If there is a God, why does he let these particular questions or problems come up? This is a question. Now, for the person who is not a Christian, who lives outside of the church, he sees the things that are happening in his life as a sign that there is no God, or that if there is a God, that God is not really interested in him. The Christian point of view is that God is totally in control of the world. And the other thing which is essential in understanding how God works is that God has only evil options. Our atonement is worked not because God works through good men to accomplish good things, but he works through evil men to accomplish good things. Now there's where the contradiction comes in. And so if when a person looks at the death of Jesus, the easiest thing to say, or the natural thing to say, the obvious thing to say is, how could such a good man suffer such great things, or how could God let that very, very good man endure such a painful death? Now, there can be no other way. So the world will always measure success by the abundance of things and the pleasures of life. But the Gospels, the life of Jesus, presents an entirely different attitude towards this, and that is, it is through evil things that God accomplishes good things. I would like to put it this way. It's not so much that God leads us as that he directs us by putting up roadblocks. And these roadblocks can be very unpleasant. You can use the illustration, and we've all suffered this frustration of being on the interstate or highway, and there's a roadblock, and we are diverted along another path, and we get very upset because it takes us more time. We get into all kinds of difficulties. We sometimes get lost. But this is how God works with us. He works through the things that are unpleasant. When you go on a detour, you're going over scenery that you haven't seen before. But you get to your destination. You get to your destination. And that's the way these problems should be seen. Now, we could make, at least we started off by referring to their both physical problems and their spiritual problems. I think if push came to shove, it's really the internal spiritual problems which are much more destructive than the physical ones. And the worst unfechtung is knowing that our sins have been forgiven and at the same time being plagued by our sins. This probably was the situation with St. Paul. St. Paul had to live with for his entire life, and that's the thorn in the flesh. We're not sure what it is. But one possibility for his thorn in the flesh, that he had been the prime mover in Jerusalem against the early church. He was the one who persecuted the church. He was the one who went into the houses. Now, when he was converted to faith, he knew the pure grace of God in Jesus Christ, and there was a fullness that came over. He said that to live for him was Christ, but that always was in the back of his mind. And that, by keeping that in the back of his mind, by God permitting that to be in the back of his mind, he put Paul in a position where he only had to rely on him. And the same thing also with Luther. Luther was plagued with the fact that Luther knew about the universal church and that the church of Christ is one. And his Anfechtungen was that he was responsible for the disruption of the church into so many factions. Now that has to be a very difficult thing to live with, or to go with your grave with, knowing that you are the one who divided Christ's church. And so for Christians, the Anfechtungen, the troubles of the soul, come in many different kinds of forms and not just one form. And it's a very lonely thing. It's a battle which we fight by ourselves. And it is within this cauldron of the difficulties that come upon Christians that faith is increased, strange as it might seem. Now, as life goes on, we may be able to detect what God was doing. We go forward looking into the rearview mirror to see how God has led us. But at the time of that we are suffering through these worries and Anfechtungen, it's difficult to see the hand of God. This is something we can only accept by faith. And of course, this is contrary to the popular American Christian religion that God wants us to have success, he wants us to have a good deal of money, he wants us to have a good life, that God wants us to possess a lot of things. Luther's concept of the Anfechtungen stands squarely against the popular Christianity.
What does Luther mean when he says that this Anfechtungen are necessary, these are necessary for making a theologian?
Well, they're necessary in two senses. First of all, it belongs to the world. You're never going to escape them. But quite specifically to your question of the theologian, there are a lot of people who engage in religious activities. These are the people, they can be generally found at colleges and universities. And the teaching of religion in those situations not only does not require a particular faith, but it also does not allow expressing a faith commitment along with the theology. Now, when Luther says that Anfechtungen or troubles make the theologian, and that is theology, what we think about God, how we face various problems, actually comes out of the crucible of where the believer confronts Satan and God. And where that doesn't take place, the Christian faith is easily denied. There are many people, I don't want to call them theologians, but there are many people who are experts in the biblical studies, the Old and the New Testament, who in some cases, they don't even believe in God. And in most cases, God is not even a factor, at least the God who reveals himself or is present in the person of Jesus Christ. One only has to go to the American Academy of Religion or the Society of Biblical Literature at these meetings of these scholars to see that the concept of a supernatural does not even enter into the discussion of what the Bible is and what the Bible says. And that's what at least Francis Pieper, who was the Missouri Synod theologian, says, that the Anfechtungen make the theologian. And it's therefore at least important, at least within our tradition, that our professors, our theologians, also be pastors of congregations, and that they see their religious life along with those of the people who are undergoing their difficulties, because difficulties inform and give shape to what we believe.
Dr. David Scarris, professor and chairman of the Department of Systematic Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of an article for the Concordia Theological Quarterly Journal titled The Concept of Anfechtung. in Luther's thought, and we'll have a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Scarra, thank you very much for your time.
It's been a pleasure being with you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with you, our listeners. It's open lines, audio open lines, in fact. Play a little CNN story that you've probably seen something about in the last couple days. Buffalo Bills football player dropped a what would have been a game-changing pass. He was supposed to catch it. That's his job. That's what he gets paid the big bucks to do. He dropped it. It was an embarrassment. He sat there forlorn in the end zone with the ball between his legs, thinking, what happened here? Later, he decided to tweet about it. He tweeted not to his many followers, but to God, asking God, how could God allow this to happen? I praise you 24/7, and this is how you do me, he asks. Well, we'll play the CNN story, then I want your reaction to God made me drop it. When we come back, it's Audio Open Lines, Issues, Etc. live this Tuesday, November the 30th. You'll find Christ-centered, cross-focused sermons from the Old Testament in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, the Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. These sermon texts are written by Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Ken Sherb. You can find out more about this resource at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Old Testament Collection by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
We're churchmen, not company men. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A strong odor led police in Bangkok, Thailand to a Buddhist temple. They found the bodies of over 2,000 babies, the victims of illegal abortions. Mortuaries commonly exist in temples as a place to cremate the remains of the deceased. In this case, an illegal abortionist paid morticians to collect the baby's bodies and burn them. They've been collecting them for over a year, and it's not clear why they haven't been cremated. Buddhist worshippers who got word of this grisly finding left offerings for the babies, milk and bananas to nourish their spirits in the afterlife. Abortion is illegal in Thailand, except in cases of the life of the mother, rape, and a disabled child. Several people have been arrested, but I wonder what horrors are hidden in other Buddhist temples.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.